When you think of farmers, you hear the stories that as soon as a kid is old enough to walk, he's on the tractor. When you think of horsemen, you think of a kid, as soon as he's old enough to walk, he's on a horse. In my case, growing up in Bonavista North on the Cape, I guess the same would go if you're a fisherman. As soon as you got your feet's big enough to put rubber boots on, you're in the boat. And so from the time I was a wee lad until I was 13, I spent my summers on the water with Father. And I grew to love the ocean. And I have grown to love the stories that come out of the ocean, the stories of the seamen and the sailors and the boats and all that. And I read every book that I can get my hand on when it comes to the ocean. But one passage that really has always kind of touched my heart is found in Psalms. And I said to myself, well, how did David know about this? You know, he's a shepherd boy. Psalms, if you want to turn with me to 107, Psalms 107, and we'll read verses 23 to 30. And you all know it. I'm sure that some of the verses you could quote by heart as I start reading. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord, they see and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and riseth the stormy winds, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their souls melt because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. And then they cry out to the Lord in their troubles, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that the waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. While looking through one of the songbooks that I had over there this week, I found a song that I've never, ever seen before. And I don't know, maybe some of you will have. It's entitled, I Will Pilot Thee. I Will Pilot Thee. And I'd like to read this because after reading this scripture, I maybe should have got a copy for each of you so you could have read along with me, but I couldn't get the copy machine to work. Sometimes when my faith would falter, and no sunshine I can see, I just lift my eyes to Jesus, and I whisper, pilot me. Fear thou not, for I'll be with thee. I will still thy pilot be. Never mind the tossing billows. Take my hand and trust in me. Often when my soul is weary and the day seems oh so long, I just look up to my pilot and I hear this blessed song. Fear not, for I'll be with thee. I will still thy pilot be. Never mind the tossing billows. Take my hand and trust in me. When temptations round me gather and I almost lose my way, somehow in the raging tempest, I can hear my Savior say, fear not, for I will be with thee. I will still thy pilot be. Never mind the tossing billows. Take my hand and trust in me. When I come to Jordan's river and its troubled waters see, on the brink I'll see my Savior, and I know he'll pilot me. Fear not, thou, for I will be with thee. I will still thy pilot be. Never mind the tossing billows. Take my hand and trust in me. Beautiful words of courage and encouragement as we, unless you're all different than me, there are billows and there are tossing waves every day. In the life that we live, but with these words, Jesus says, "Fear not, I will pilot thee." The story I want to tell today, I read many years ago. So if I forget some of the details, you'll have to forgive me. As we read the stories about sailors and sea captains, we have two classes, basically. There don't seem to be any in between. There seems to be most of the sailors are cussing men, and they're not praying men. But in the sea captains themselves, we see a pretty good balance of those who are cussing men, but we see a lot who are praying men. This story that I have today, I'm not sure whether the captain was a praying man or not. But I do know that at the end of the story, the sailors or the fishermen were definitely thankful men. Whether they prayed before, I'm sure they prayed during, but whether they prayed before, I don't know. This story is about, well, you've all heard the bankers, right? That used to go to the Grand Banks in the 19th and early 20th century out of towns such as Buren and all those St. Mary up in Marystown area. It was a stormy night. The captain and his crew had filled their boat to capacity with fish, which at this time was salted. And the wind was contrary. In Newfoundland, you know what that means, contrary. It means it was opposite to where you would want it to be at that time. And so he couldn't turn around to head to port. So he threw out an anchor and anchored head into the wind. And with the exception of the night watchman, the crew went below into the forecastle and was sitting there having a cup of tea and maybe a slice of lassie bread. When the man on the deck opened the hatch and looked down and he says, "There's someone out there. I hear someone out there on the ocean calling for help." And the crew says, "You're out of your mind. I mean, it's mad rough, and the wind is howling. You're just hearing the wind." So they just went back to what they were doing. And then one of the crew below says, "You know, I hear that too." And so they all went up on deck and listen. "Help! Help!" Well, there's definitely someone out there. It's got to be a dorymen. Sure enough, off in the mist and the fog, they could see the dorymen. And they were rowing frantically, but because the wind was contrary, they couldn't get to the boat. So what did the crew do? There's nothing they could do. It was mad rough. They couldn't get their boat out. So they said, well, they went back below deck and decided, well, I guess these guys are doomed. But someone says, well, why don't we put our dory out, put a light on a pole, and let this dory go out behind our boat with the lines, right? So they tied on the line. I can't remember, but it seems to me it was over a mile of line. At the end, they let out, and they let out, and they let out, and they let out, and they let out. And they were to the end of the line, and they had it on another couple hundred feet, and they let out to the end of the line. And then someone felt a tug. It seemed like something was happening back there, all those thousands of feet back. So they decided they would pull in, and they pulled in, and they pulled in. Now, it was easier to let out heart than to pull in, right? I mean, you know, you're pulling against the wind, and you're pulling two boats now instead of one. And they pulled them in. And when they got them in, sure enough, there was two dorymen from the French island of Saint-Pierre-Miquelon in the dory. They had drifted away from there, had gone out fishing, and they were not able to find their way back to the schooner, and thus had drifted away. Well, the part of the story, of course, that amazed me is that once these men were on the deck, the first thing they did, they never even bothered to thank the men. They knelt right then and there and thanked God that he has rescued them from the storm. Because without the help of these men and the power of God, them boats, those men, was doomed. So whether the captain was a praying man or whether these men prayed before, we don't know. But we do know, and I am certain of that, that God was with those men that night. And I am convinced that they were praying in that dory even though at times they may not have been, at origin they may not have been God-oriented. At this point, no doubt they were. And so it just goes on to prove from what we read here this morning in Scriptures that God will bring them to the desired haven. And in this case, he did. And they knelt and prayed and thanked God for what he had done for them. When we think of the Sea of Galilee, we think of a inland sea, you know, not in, well, maybe like Gull Island Pond or something like that. But when you stand on the eastern shore or the western shore of the Sea of Galilee and you look out to the westward, you're here on these little hills and all of a sudden off is these hills that lead off to Jordan and Syria, way up there. And it was from those hills, like, you know, over here we hear of the wreck house, the wind that funnels in off the ocean and gathers in this and then shoo. Well, the Sea of Galilee is built in such a way, or is such a way that as the wind comes out of the north, it channels through these and the storms become absolutely rageous. You'd hardly think if it's an inland sea. And as we stood there and looked at that, I think in looking back now after 5 or 6 years, it seems to me that the distance across the Sea of Galilee was the same as from the tip of Belle Isle to the tip of Porte Grave. So it's a fairly big area. And so it was there that we get this next story. And if you want to turn, all of the Gospels except John has this story. Matthew has it, Mark has it, Luke has it. I read all three several times, but I chose Mark's story because somehow or another the details are a little different, and I like it. And I don't need to tell you what it is. You already know, right? Chapter 4 of Mark, if you want to turn your Bibles to verses 35 to 40. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." So he's on the western side. He's just been healing and teaching the people on the western side. And now in order to some quiet, he wants to get some quietness for himself and his disciples, and he decides, and without a doubt, the best place of isolation is the eastern side where these mountains are. So he says, "Let us cross over to the other side." And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him. So here we see Jesus and the disciples crossing over the Sea of Galilee, but it wasn't just them. It was other little boats, it says here. "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was almost filling." It's not a pleasant situation. In the middle of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus and his disciples, other boats, the storm is raging, the wind is blowing, and they're about to sink. Not only Jesus' boat, not only Peter's boat, or whosoever it was, Peter, John's, or whosoever, but also the little boats that are with him. "But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow." Now, what in the world? "And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" I mean, really, come on now. In a windstorm, the boat is filling up with water and Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. "Then he arose." Now, just imagine this in your mind. You can close your eyes if you like, but just imagine in your mind, you're in the middle of the ocean, of the Sea of Galilee. The wind is blowing. The boat is almost filled with water. Jesus is sleeping. The disciples wake him. "Then he arose." Come on, imagine it. He arose. He comes up from his pillow. He arises and he said to the sea, three words. What were they? "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." And to the amazement of all who was there, and the wind ceased. And it didn't say there was a calm. It said there was a great calm. I mean, here we are from 4, 5, 6, 8 feet waves to glass. Now, instantly. And verse 40. This is the part that It's amazing. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? Oh, come on now, Jesus. What do you mean, why are we so fearful? There we are in the middle of a storm, and you're sleeping in the boat, and we're about to sink, and you ask us why we're so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And I can only ask myself how I would have felt, where my faith would have been. I mean, I've been on the ocean in pretty rough times. But why are you fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? What a story. What an amazing story of lack of faith. rebuke, but done kindly. Calming of the sea. And love that Jesus had for not only his disciples, but for all those other little boats as well. You've offered me, said, and I've said this many times, and I will probably say it many more times, my favorite book, and I read a lot, but my favorite book has been, always was, and with God's willing, always will be, The Desire of Ages. It is a book that has been written on the life of Christ. It is number one. It is the number one book in the Library of Congress in the United States. There's more than one book there. It is the number one book on the life of Christ. And as you read it, you'll know why. I'm going to read just one paragraph talking about this situation after the storm was over and Jesus had stilled the waters. How often the disciples' experience is ours? Ask yourself the question. How often the disciples' experience is ours? When the tempest of temptation gathers and the fierce lightning flashes and the waves sweep over us, now listen to these next words. We battle with the storm alone. You know, if you'd been there that night, and you could have seen what was happening, and if you would have been in one of those boats, I'm convinced that they were doing everything in their power to get that boat to the other side. They weren't just sitting there and letting that boat float around, forgetting that there is one who can help us. I'll read that again. When the tempest of temptations gather and the fierce lightnings flash and the waves sweep over us, we battle with the storms alone, forgetting that there was one who can help us. We trust to our own strength till our hope is lost and we are ready to perish. Then we remember Jesus. And if we call upon him to save us, he shall not cry in vain. So even though we have done everything in our power, we forget Jesus until we have no other choice, you know, until all is lost. We shall not cry in vain. Though he sorrowfully reproves our unbelief and self-confidence, as he did to the disciples, he never fails to give us the help we need, whether on the land or on the sea. If we have the Savior in our heart, there is no need of fear. Losing faith in the Redeemer living faith in the Redeemer will smooth the sea of life and will deliver us from the danger in the ways that he knows to be best. I'll read that again. Whether on the land or on the sea, if we have the Savior in our heart, there is no need of fear. Living faith in Redeemer will smooth the sea of life and will deliver us from dangers in the way that he knows to be best. That's not always easy to accept, is it? We think we know what's best. The Lord Jesus, our Savior, says, fear thou not, for I'll be with thee. I will still thy pilot be. Never mind the tossing billows. Take my hand and trust in me. Praise God. I've got to thank you once again for coming. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another blessed day that we could come and worship you. We thank you for the songs that we've heard this morning that tells us of your great love, for the scriptures that we have read that shows us how powerful you are. And we pray now that we will allow you to be our rock throughout this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.